Welcome to DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts, an audio discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education.
Hello, my name is Dr. Fiona Reardon, and I am an academic developer in the Teaching Enhancement Unit in DCU. Today, I'm in conversation with my colleague Tim Downing about designing assessment to promote academic integrity. So let's begin with you introducing yourself, please, Tim.
Sure. My name is Dr. Tim Downing. I'm a lecturer in genomics in the School of Biotechnology in DCU. You've asked me to talk about video assignments today, Fiona.
That's correct. Thanks, Tim, and we're delighted to have this conversation. And particularly in relation to how your use of video assignments promote academic integrity, that would be really interesting. Let's start with you telling us a little bit about the module we're going to talk about today.
Sure. So my module is for a group of third years, and it's a standard 5 ECTS module. There's about 40 students in the class, so it's kind of on the small end of things, which means looking at video assignments is actually feasible, taken by our single class of genetics and cell biology students. And they've had two and a half years in college by that stage, so they kind of they're more familiar with things, and they have more a decent understanding of basic video technology and kind of file manipulation, which you might have for this kind of assignment. The module this year is one actually on pathogen genomics, so it's more focused on things like if we understand the existing SARS-CoV-2 challenge that we all face, that looking at the DNA sequences of those viruses is now very, very important. So center out that concept that we want to explore the evolution of these viruses as using SARS-CoV-2 as a paradigm, and then also understand how genomics can help us understand their evolution and do things like, you know, predict the next variant of concern or other really urgent societal problems that we have. And it kind of looks more broadly at the wider patterns of pathogen variation, looking at, say, the older virus outbreaks or things like HIV as well. Excellent. And to really think about how we can control infections.
Interesting, timely at the moment, isn't it? So I'd say there's great demand for that currently. Can you tell me a little bit about how the module is structured?
It's over one semester. The first semester from September to December, it's a mix of continuous assessment and as well as an exam style assessment as well at the end of semester. And that's to kind of balance the theoretical and the practical aspects that I found with the students. Some students, unfortunately, have a tendency of rushing to things. So they have to be assessed in terms of the theory so they understand why they're doing these things and not just trying to get the results that they want, that they think they should have at the end. So I've kind of balanced out the assessment that they have 5 assignments during term. So once a fortnight over those semesters, the end of week 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. And then they have an exam then in week, I think it was 11, week 11 or 12 this year. Where the exam is worth 40%. So there's a decent weighting there, but it's not everything. And then each of the assignments is 12%. So each of them is important, but it's not everything. And that's kind of to engage students to start working early. And the assignments kind of focus on the practical aspects. So it's kind of a mixed lab that is computational biology. So it a lot of it is implementing what they're learning as they go along, but also understanding the theory. So it's similar. It's like a kind of a lecture and a lab course combined into one, in essence.
Excellent. Thank you. And so what you're going to talk to us about now is that one of those 12% pieces of continuous assessment.
Yes, that's right. Was a video-based assignment. So they have a mix of different assignment submission formats. And often with scientific reports, they can be a bit dry and descriptive. What we really want to focus on is the students' level of understanding, what they understand, what they don't understand as well, and how to get in feedback on that can be difficult. And I think video assignments are a way of doing that. I've taught aspects of computer coding to all levels of students over the past few years, and having appropriate assignment formats that are also unique for the individual students, each student, can be tricky to do that efficiently in a way that promotes academic integrity. I think that now, having done this, is that all my future computer coding related assignments for second years as well as third years will incorporate videos, that the students can write their script of code. If they have borrowed, remixed, or whatever other code from other people, if they can explain it in detail, then they have achieved their learning outcomes.
So it's fine if they're using somebody else's code once they understand why and how they're using it.
If they're co-opting, I wouldn't say using it's co-opting, modifying with descent, you know. But that's important for coding, that they want to show that they understand it. And sometimes it's not clear. Coding is different to writing an essay or text where you really want to put things in your words by whatever mechanism. With coding, you're often best way of learning is to modify existing code and tweak things, which we do a lot, especially in second year. They're just modifying small parts of code and understanding what does what. And third year, they're doing this in a more extended sense. But you, I guess with this assignment, I was trying to get them to revise types of code that they had done before. So code for writing in a package called RStudio, and then also one in Unix, which is a kind of like an operating system. So it's more like a terminal command line type of environment. So both of which are not, the students have done before, but they're a bit rusty. So to get them to revise what they did before and also
explain it
and illustrate their understanding. And if you're learning commands in those two things, a lot of it is very routine, that having absolute originality is hard to demonstrate and not always needed, but you want to illustrate that they understand that. So if you're looking at a command line environment, what you want to the same as looking at a computer screen, or if you say you're showing your relative how to use mobile phone, all you want to see is that the person can use it properly. Yeah. And that's the learning outcome achieved, that they understand how things work, and they can write their own code for their own things. And so the video assignment gives you a sense of what they know. And for this one, they're instructed to kind of outline in rigorous detail exactly what they are doing.
Yes.
So that the listener could understand that.
That makes a lot of sense. Can you tell me a little bit about how it actually worked practically? How did the students video themselves? Did they use Zoom?
Yeah, yes. Which is great. A lot of them use Zoom, and they're much more agile than pre-pandemic, with using Google Drive and sharing the links to the files, uploading on YouTube. I didn't mind how, what format or whatever. They're all now very good at that. They've had a practice with that. So that was really nice to see. Again, we're dealing with third years here, so they've had more experience of that. So that was not a hurdle at all. They're well used to it. The only thing I need to add in to make it more authentic is to encourage them to show the videos of their faces inside the video for full authenticity. Unfortunately, that might be more of a struggle next year, but we'll get to that point.
Excellent. But that's good to know. So it's a real example of how the pandemic and its encouragement into the online space has benefited student and the assessment. Super, thanks. Can you tell us a little bit about what type of preparation, support, or lead time you needed to design this assessment and run it?
For this particular one, because I left it very open-ended, it was actually probably less than I do for normal assignment. So normal assignment, I give them problems to solve or things to do, or you know, plots to make, whatever, analysis to perform. Whereas this one, I told them that they had a variety of different aspects they could concentrate on. So lots of examples, example code they could use to illustrate their understanding, but it's very open-ended, that I want them to do particular things like move files between folders, to show me how to edit a file using a particular software tool, that kind of thing. Very basic stuff in those environments, sort of important things that for the fundamentals. And I said that if I was an employer looking at the video, I wanted them to showcase their talents and what they could do, going from the very basics up so they understand the basics of the working environment that they're using, but also to give more examples as well, and to bring the list, the watcher, all the way through up to more advanced levels. And what was good about keeping it open-ended is that having taught for quite a few years, I have lots of existing material, so I don't have to reinvent the wheel. And also, the students given an open-ended assignment, after getting over the uncertainty that they don't like, they use lots of original examples. So they're really creative, really original. And that's great for authenticity, that you know that they wrote the code themselves, because they're showing you The scores, the historical patterns of scores of Formula One drivers, for example, really
fabulous
things.
Great way getting to know your students as well.
Or their favorite line from a book, you know.
That's fantastic. And I think giving them that level of choice combined with trying to create that authentic environment where you're saying, think of it as presenting in industry, best practice tells us that that's really good, a good way to promote both academic integrity but engage students. We've done some work in the unit, Rob Lowney and myself, around students as partners. And given that level of choice is really a good way to start that kind of partnership approach with students. So congratulations on that. How did your students respond to the approach, Tim?
As always with anything new, students are uncertain and they tend not to like it initially. However, my feedback after the module, I always get feedback and they're positive about that. I actually enjoyed it. Because I guess they were doing something different, something new, something they had to engage with because they're doing a video. It made it, you know, more real that I think that it allows them to reflect on what they knew or they didn't know within it. So I think it was generally positive. The student interaction suggests that they do like that. And it's really important that what it allows at the basic level is to allow them to express themselves in different ways. That sometimes their code might look confusing, to put it mildly. But if they can explain it to me and I understand, then I know that they understand.
Yeah.
It gives them more ways in which to express themselves.
Yeah. And as you said before we started this conversation, that speaks to UDL principles, which is also very good. I also like the idea that they have a takeaway from the work that they've done with you. So, you know, our students, like ourselves, like to show off their accomplishments. And so they can share that tape with others to show the type of programming they're engaging with, their coding they're engaging with. So that's good. What would you advise other academics to consider? Or would you advise them to consider engaging in this assessment approach? And if so, what would you advise? How would you advise them?
There's a few things. Trying to encourage them to use those e-portfolios as a way of recording their work in this module, and to view them video within that. So I would look at that, its long-term usefulness as something that's really important for students. And you know what I would do next year is tell them, okay, you have to revise, you have to go back into a workplace where you're using this code and you want to revise this video is for yourself in 2 years time when you need to revise, you know.
Yes. So it's a self-reflection tool.
A self-reflection, but also a self-teaching tool.
Yeah. Excellent.
You know, we all forget things and, you know, it's a self-teaching and that long-term preservation is important for them. They're putting together a portfolio of work that's also a reminder for them. We send students out in intra and we're asked them always to concentrate on what did I learn during intra, to list all their skills that they learned then for their future graduate options, so that they fully understand what experience that they have. And I think video assignments kind of, especially at third and fourth year level, give good scope for them to illustrate what they're capable of doing. And in that vein, I think for other academics who are doing that within DCU, certainly that e-portfolio was really where I would start with.
Did you use e-portfolio with this current cohort that would?
I encourage them to do this. I'm only linked it straight from there, from Loop Effect.
Excellent.
And I think there's huge options for students to kind of make unique contributions that are definitely their own using video. Yeah. And in my case, it was just writing computer code, but that could apply to many other things. So I can fully imagine, I was trying to think about this myself, the students could submit along with, say, a written report,
yes,
a 1 minute summary for my lab reports, what the key findings were. And also, and this only occurs to me now, what do they not understand? What were they confused on? All this, you know, things that they are not sure about. That's would be really good.
That's very wise. And I think particularly since you have multiple CA components throughout the semester, it would be lovely for them to see and track their progression, and also for you to have it in one place as well. Okay, I think that's it for now, Tim, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, that's perfect, Fiona. Thank
Lovely.
You.
Thanks for taking the time today to share your experience with us. And we look forward to discussing this some more with you down the line. Thanks very much, Tim.
Thanks.